for the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. If you look at the next page under this, which is a smaller page, which is in a calendar format, you may want to take this with you. This shows what you've done every day so far during this legislative session, what bills you've worked on by date. And if you look down to first, second, third, fourth row from the bottom, that's the week we're in now. And you can see that you're scheduled for the State School Fund and the School Improvement Fund. I ask you to look at the next week, May 7th through 11th. On this next week, on Monday, you will be scheduled to look at to have public hearings on two bills, one that limits school size and another that would establish a scholarship program similar to the HOPE scholarship program that exists in Georgia. Then the schedule is next week on Tuesday to have return to the Student Assistance Commission budget and to work that through, hopefully to be able to move that out of subcommittee. And then finally next week to work on the higher ed capital construction budget on Wednesday and Thursday, and then hopefully to be able to work those out subcommittee as well.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, yes, Senator Trump.
With regard to the Student Assistant Commission,
yes.
What's holding up that one? I thought we had done everything there except maybe some budget notes that we turned out.
The budget, we haven't funded it yet.
We haven't. Okay, we haven't approved.
As I recall, I don't know, it's been a long time ago. Isn't that the situation? Yeah.
That is
not
correct.
Not take a vote on the budget.
Not on the final budget.
Not on correct. The final budget. Okay. Again, I reiterate my opposition to budget notes that would change how the opportunity grant is administered. I think it's rightfully a need grant not to go to students who have need.
Right. I will support you on that, Senator.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning then on the week of May 14th, which is the week when the economic forecast will be released, this subcommittee will be scheduled to work on either the OHSU budget, which is one of the ones that hasn't been done yet and should take about 4 days, or to return to other budgets that you've previously worked on but have not been able to make final funding decisions on. It's a little unclear at that point, but this
yes.
gives some idea as to what the subcommittee is looking
like. Well, thank you, Steve. And one thing that I want to leave open, Monday, May 14th, of course, we get the forecast, and we on our OHSU prior budgets, I may want to run the committee from like 1 to 5 on a couple of days because our substitute committee on education is will be closed down, and so we'll be able to do that. And that's when I expect to hold the hearings on the budgets after we know what kind of funds we have. So you could kind of keep that in mind. I'm not just sure how far we'll have to go with that.
Will do, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No, Mr.
Any questions? Blaine for Steve about the schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sue, let's see. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday, and that's with Duncan. And Duncan, we've got you scheduled for about 30 minutes. And then I do want to say to two school board members from Ashland that about 2:30 we'll give you 3 to 5 minutes. I'm sorry that you understood that this was going to be open testimony today. The only testimony we have taken is on, it's been invited testimony, but as you heard me say, after we understand how much money is going to be available on these budgets, we have not appropriated or assigned any money to any of the budgets, so it's not really appropriate to hear, you know, what we think we can do until we see what the May forecast is on May 14th. And that is the reason that we invited Duncan Weiss and the quality education model people before us so that we can get a feel of how the 5.2 came about.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Trump.
I would like to acknowledge that there are a number of people here from Corvallis. The school superintendent is here, and the chair of the school board is here, and members of the school board. And we appreciate their being here. I think they thought when they came that they would be allowed to testify, but as I understand it, you're not taking testimony today.
Not taking public testimony. We have invited a couple.
Except for the Ashland group, which came from a long distance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And And if you have testimony, for those of you who did come to testify publicly today, why, please leave your written testimony here, and I'll make sure that all the members get it, because we, as you might imagine, get a lot of written testimony, and we read it and consider it. And then after you hear what the forecast is, if you want to come to testify, why, we will have public testimony after May 14th. Duncan, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm returning from yesterday. My name is Duncan Wise, Oregon Business Council member of the Quality Ed Commission. We were just about done yesterday, but there were a couple questions outstanding, and then we just wanted to conclude the presentation. We left, as you recall, Senator Troe, you were asking the very important question about the accountability system and the focus on the benchmarks. We had described to you the $5.2 billion number and indicated that the commission had been asked by the governor to focus on a specific goal that was actually selected by the leadership team. That if you recall, the leadership team last session focused on reading as a gateway to all further learning under the theory that if young people can read at third grade, they're a lot more likely to be successful at all their other learnings from third grade and beyond and into the fifth grade and onto the middle school and high school, and that if we could achieve that goal, that one goal of the state in the education arena, that would have ramifications throughout the system and be very important. And, of course, this goal has also now been enunciated by our new president. The reading goal is, I think, now universally accepted as a very important one. So the governor asked us, given the limited dollars that he foresaw, what would a focus look at that goal? So what we did, and you heard Yvonne yesterday, and Yvonne played an important role, Yvonne Curtis, who was an elementary school teacher, we asked what would it take to really accelerate the growth, and we've had growth in this, to achieve that reading objective. And that was how we put together the prototype school on reading, and again we shared with you yesterday what that would look like, with the goal of 90% of young children at third and fifth grade meeting the reading goal. The question Senator Troy asked, well, what about all the other purposes of education? I would stress that the commission understands that we have standards in the whole lines of curriculum, not in certain areas right now that we don't have state assessments, but we certainly have the arts, we have languages, we have physical education, social studies, and science, and that in some cases there'll be statewide assessments, in some cases there'll be local assessments, but in any event, those are all important critical ingredients to what we consider a quality education. And so we looked at that whole range, and it was for that reason that we put together added additional instruction, for example, in the elementary years for specialists in different subject areas, and we added additional teachers in the middle and high school. So we did understand that, but in terms of the accountability system, we felt it was important that the state has enunciated some goals, and again, we particularly focused on the leadership team goal of the third and fifth grade reading and tried to specifically aim a budget into that framework. And that's what you will see, and I think Gene Thorne will be talking later today about how the governor then translated that analysis into the budget presentation.
Senator, you're receiving.
I was wondering to what extent that's obviously a very important goal, no question about it. But if a school district thinks that its efforts along those lines are adequate now and has other needs, mm-hmm. Are they free to move those resources?
Mr. Chair, Senator Troy, yes, and I think Gene will describe that in more detail, but no, the aim is with the School Improvement Fund is if the schools are already meeting the original goals, then there's a lot more flexibility. But what we're trying to do in this budget, and again, I think this is an enormous opportunity for you as a legislature, is to articulate a statewide goal, third and fifth grade reading, with the budget that you sign off. And again, I think it's very exciting that the school community has embraced this, so that when you pass a budget, you're not just passing a budget for funding, you're also passing a budget that has some performance expectations aimed at, I think, one of the most pivotal critical goals we're all talking about right now. And that's very, very important, I think, in what you're doing here. So, but yes, if a school district is already at those goals or are well on their way and that have already poured their resources into it, then I think, as Gene will describe, there's a lot more flexibility in terms of how the dollars get spent. So, again, we're not trying, again, as we've tried to describe, this is not a framework that tries to micromanage the individual budget decisions. What it's trying to do is set the policy goals, the performance goals that you would create, and ask the schools to step up to meet that challenge, understanding their creativity will surprise us all and impress us all as we go forward. With that, I think that was the outstanding question when we left at 3 yesterday. I think we're really, as I say, we're pretty close to the end. We wanted to summarize. We've walked through the model, talked through the performance expectations associated with it. I think Bill Thorndike at the beginning said there were a number of issues that we have not covered and in the model. We'll go back once more. Yeah, there are a number of subjects that we didn't cover in the commission, frankly. We were given a charge to produce what we produce, and we did that. But there are a number of issues that always come up around this model. We think it inevitably. One was raised yesterday, the accountability question, the question that Representative Winters asked. We say 90% of young people are going to hit the third and fifth grade reading benchmarks. What happens if it's statewide or district level or school level if it doesn't happen? There's a whole accountability conversation that this raises. We've got information that we've never had available before. We've got budgets tied to performance like never before. You have an issue in front of you. We all had, in our commission, we had lots of conversations, probably more views. There is an accountability model that the department has produced with the school improvement plans. You can take a look at that. But again, I think many of us feel this is a ripe conversation. Tied to accountability is the issue of governance. We have changed in this decade enormously the way we oversee K-12 education. You've set the Education Act. You now are responsible for the funding levels for education. I think all of us believe there are a number of major governance issues that deserve attention, and we would suggest that you need to put that on your on the table and really take a broad examination of the role of the state, role of districts, role of schools, ESDs and all in terms of role and responsibilities in the system as it's emerged, because we haven't really stepped back. So we didn't get into those issues. The third issue, very important, we didn't get into was the distribution formulas. Mm-hmm. You have a revenue committee that does distribution. We believe the model is a good way of estimating the statewide level and what you're buying in general at a statewide level in a typical school. But we didn't get into the issues of distribution among, all the issues of different weightings, different geographic issues, small schools, all those issues we didn't cover. The model is capable of addressing those issues to some degree, and we could take that up, but we didn't, and so you need to understand that. The fourth issue we didn't address, and this is a tricky one, and again, one I think is definitely warrants further consideration, is capital needs. Your responsibility is for operations. The local school districts are responsible for the capital generally with the local bonding authority. So we didn't estimate capital needs. And, of course, there's a tie between capital and maintenance costs, and we recognize that. But we didn't, in this model, estimate that. We presumed the buildings as they were and then proceeded from there. We didn't really get into mandates. One of the questions that came up was if we're trying to achieve these results, are there statewide mandates that are getting in the way? We had some conversation, but that would be, if we look to the next round on this, would be something I think the next round of the commission might want to take a harder look at. Are there ways to improve the quality and delivery by removing some of the mandates you have on programs at the state level? And then the final issue, and again, Elaine raised it yesterday, was the high school structure. As we examined the high schools and looked at our prototype high schools, quite frankly, there's a lot of conversation, and this is a national conversation that's going on, about the future of high schools and what they look like. And we could, again, to hit the high-performance standards we have created in Oregon, we may need to do some fairly significant redesign of those schools. And again, I would encourage the next commission to take a look at that in a more fundamental way. We took the high school as it exists and budgeted it out. But I think a number of especially the educators, were saying that maybe we need to think more boldly about redesigning that institution. So those are some of the issues. There's plenty of work ahead. We have not solved all the problems. To summarize, we do think it's an important new tool that's available to you. And again, when you step back, what are we doing here? I don't think it's ever possible for you to go in and look at 199 school budgets in this state and do individual budgets. I hope you don't ever want to do that. I think it would be unwise for you to try to do that. Yet at the same time, you do have a responsibility for setting the funding level. What this model does is allow you to understand what we're spending today, what you can expect at the current funding level in terms of taking a look at what a typical school looks like at the elementary, middle, and high school level today, and really have a good grip on what the underlying costs are. You can examine each of the cost items. If you want to look at any item, it's quite possible to dig in and challenge the numbers as they exist today if you'd like to. And it also enables you to understand what additional dollars are likely to purchase. And finally, with the accountability mechanisms and the performance mechanism, We think you have a means now to tie those budgets to performance expectations for schools. So you have a very important tool, which we hope will get better and better over time. And I hope a much better conversation that will emerge between the legislature and the school community in terms of what you're buying at the budget level you select. So our hope is that you'll use it this time, that the budget that you submit will go out to the school community with this framework, that they'll use the prototypes you adopt for their own planning, and the next session you'll be able to come back and see how the schools did against the budget you created this time using the model. With that,
yeah, Duncan, thank you so much for what you've done. I just want to get on the record one more time. You know, you and I have talked about the 5.2 and what it does to the three districts that are in my Senate district, and I've got the 2010-5 formula. Mm-hmm. Portland has to cut their budget by $20 million, Beaverton by $10 million, and Hillsborough by $5 million. And so, you know, I need to have some answers from that. And I agree with you, the QEM is an important tool, and I think, you know, we talked about the model or where we would like to be with an extra $1 billion, which, of course, we will not have.
Right.
But we want to talk about that again. And another thing, I don't know if you were in the Education Committee yesterday afternoon in the Substantive Committee when we sent the bill to Ways and Means, and most likely will come here, which would allow five school districts of the 198 to have a pilot programs, i.e. eliminate the sin in the can.
Right.
And while I do not favor that at all, we will hold a hearing on that because, as you know, there's a lot of people that think that if we would, you know, without school reform, if we taught the subjects, the curriculum, the way we had before, why we wouldn't have to be looking at 5.2 and creating a shortfall. But anyway, that's the kind of a discussion we want to continue.
To have a conversation.
And Senator Trow this morning on remonstrances on the Senate floor, and I was so glad he did it because all 30 senators could hear it talk about the, you know, the role of funding our schools adequately, and we're not doing that. And we know at the 5.2 we won't do it, so we have to figure out some way to find other resources or make some significant cuts that will not affect the quality in terms, but really appreciate your efforts. Any other questions or comments for Duncan? Senator Trow?
Just a couple, three questions. Does the model incorporate the, say, $400 million federal dollars that flow into the state into education, and
no.
Some districts get a lot of that and some don't.
No, right. Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, no, it doesn't. This allocates the state dollars. The database, by the way, does have federal funds available, so you can see how those get spent.
Does it affect the allocation of state dollars at all, the amount of federal
dollars? No, most of the federal funds, of course, are designed for specific targeted populations, the vast majority. We in the prototype school, we include a mix of students, and the assumption, you know, when you do the prototypes and ask what is it going to take to serve this population, we have assumptions about what the population looks like, but we didn't add the federal funds when we asked what is it going to take to meet the state goals with the dollars available.
I think you admit surrounding any school is a socioeconomic climate. Students come from different kinds of backgrounds and so forth. Does the model allow you to do anything with those kinds of things?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, the way we've used it so far, it doesn't directly. I mean, again, we assume that the school has a typical mix. It's not a really low SES or a high SES. It's kind of a typical school. What we can use the model for, it's possible to imagine what a particular category would look like and ask the question, what is it going to take, what additional resources would it take to serve those populations? One of our, I guess, underlying assumption here is that some of the federal funds would enable those schools to address those kinds of populations. We haven't done that yet in this model. But in the future, I could imagine different prototype different schools with different assumptions about the populations in them and modeling those.
It's flexible enough to do that.
Yeah, it's quite possible to do.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to join with you and thank Duncan and everyone who worked on this so much. I think this is the epitome in a school business partnership, and I so approve and laud you for that from the school district's point of view. And I think it's also important that you talked a little bit about what this doesn't include. And before Representative Winters gets here in the P word, for those who don't know, which is preschool. And I think all of us agree with her that that preschool issue is imperative that we address that. But that wasn't part of the quality ed model, and that's okay. In addition to that, I have to laugh when you said it didn't cover the distribution. I guarantee you, out of the 90 members in this building, we'll find every conceivable alternative and almost disservice to distribution that can be imagined, so you don't need to do that. And I guess that to sum that all up, I think it's very important that we do keep it concise and focus on right where you have it until we learn to wiggle and use all the idiosyncrasies of each district. And I just think it's a wonderful tool, and I feel so good because the flexibility is there. It's just a framework. And again, I thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure to participate. I do want to address the chair's issue on the individual districts. One of the things you can do with the model is compare, using the model, what the prototype schools look like against the district budgets. And so you can get a read on where the differences are in budget versus when it may help you to some degree with the current service debates you have. I understand there's a whole series of issues right now, and every school district is getting its own position. I mean, we understand this is an estimate using a typical school, and every district's going to have its own set of issues with their current budgets. But it is a tool that you can use to understand what the differences are. And again, we would expect that to happen as this process moves along. Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. This is all the work has been a wonderful partnership. It's been a lot of
Be sure to work. Thank Bill Thorndike also.
Are you I'd like to also acknowledge the department's role in this. Nancy Heiligman and has just done a great job in developing this, and it's been a very, very excellent piece. A lot of staffing went into this during the department. I don't even want to start naming names because there are so many. It's been very great.
Are you going to continue meetings, or are you just going to wait to see what comes out of this?